Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Having on the whole armor of God enables us to win every battle in life that we will ever face. And we've already learned a lot about the armor. Where we left off is where I want to pick up. And we talked about, above all the pieces of armor, we have already talked about the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But we left off learning about this scripture. Here's what it says. Take a look at it with me. Above all, look at this, taking the shield of faith. And then it tells us why we want to take the shield of faith. Look at the rest of the scripture. Because with it, and I love this phrase that never ceases to warm my heart, ye shall be able. And God is interested in you being able to face every enemy, every adversary, and every conflict, every battlefield that comes your way. Wherewith ye shall be able, look at this, to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, every single one of them. And we're going to learn in a few moments how those fiery darts work, how we stop them and live in victory over all the fiery darts that the wicked, whether it's the wicked devil, a wicked demon, a wicked person, hurls our way, we will know how to do it. Now, what we've talking about is, for a few moments, is why the shield of faith is above all and more important. In fact, the scripture says, look at this, that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God says that your faith is the way you overcome and get the victory over all the enemy. You see, there are two kinds of shields. One's a dress shield. It's a small one. It's used when a parade marching down the street. It's a decoration. But the real shield that's referred to in our text today comes from a Greek word that refers to a large shield. In fact, it's so large completely encompasses the soldier. In fact, I think I have a scripture. Here it is in Psalm 5 and 12. Here is a scripture that indicates this. Thou compass him as with a shield. Compass, to encompass, means to almost totally surround, if not totally surround, a person with a shield. Now, this shield is important, and it is to be taken above all the other pieces of armor, and here are three reasons why. Number one, it is the first line of defense. If something's coming inbound, you want to stop it with your shield, not with your helmet, because it might be too heavy for your helmet, but the shield can handle it. And I don't know if you've seen, in fact, I was very tempted to borrow or to bring in from the local squat team a real combat shield. And they weigh a lot. They are made normally not out of steel, but out of a ceramic material, so that any bullets that hit them, the ceramic just chews up the lead, and it doesn't pierce. It just grinds the bullet to powder. And I've seen them. They're about this high. Usually they have a little window in it that the soldier or the policeman can look through, and it's about yay wide. And this is the kind of shield this is talking about. It's the first line of defense. Yes, you got the rest of your armor on, but you want to stop everything out here. The second reason why we're to take that above all the other pieces of armor is that it protects the whole body. All the other pieces only protect the part, whether it's the helmet of salvation or the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, or the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the boots on. The boots only protect your feet. The helmet only protects your head, but you see, the shield protects the whole body. The third reason why it's to be taken above all the other pieces of armor is because it actually protects the other pieces of armor. I use the illustration, I repeat it for you, that if the helmet, if you got hit over the head with a big heavy stick, a 2x4 or a baseball bat on the helmet, the helmet could take the beating and you might survive a blow or two. But you see, the equipment here isn't designed, the pieces aren't designed to take the steady, constant incoming missiles, bullets, arrows, piercing swords, or spears. It's, you see, the equipment you have on your body is sort of backup, the real first line of defense that protects all of the body, first line of defense, and also protects the rest of the armor is this shield of faith. Now, we must be using it at all the time. Now, I want just to just finish this little bit of review, because there are so many scriptures in the Bible that tell us that God is our shield. You know, I kind of like knowing that, because you can count that if God is your shield, you will be very well protected. Somebody said, God is our shield, and the faith is like the little handle on the back of the shield that puts God to work for you. And the scriptures tell us how important the shield of faith is and how important faith is. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we left off the last time together talking about what will faith do for you. And if you haven't got these down, I'm just going to go through the ones that we've already taught on briefly so that you can get them. First thing we learned is that faith will provide confidence for your daily provision. We learned that faith drives out fear. We learned that faith brings forgiveness for sins. We learned that faith brings healing for sickness. We learned that faith will determine your future. We learned that faith restores sanity and casts out devils. We learned that faith can move mountains. We learned that faith curses the unfruitful things in our life and gets them out of the way. We learned that faith brings answers to prayer. Then we learned that faith restores us to being the children of God. We learned that faith produces righteousness. We learned that faith brings justification and peace. And we learned that faith precipitates grace. And we learned that faith brings Christ into our hearts. That's where we left off last time. But I want you to learn a few more things about faith, because once we've learned the value of faith, this shield of faith, then we want to learn how to use that shield, how to take it up so that when we use it, it will actually stop all the fiery darts of the enemy. So in your notes, number 15, look at this. Faith produces obedience. By the way, it always produces obedience. Look at the scripture. It refers in Romans 16 to the obedience of faith. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer that said, only those who really believe obey, and only those who obey really believe. How do we know that's true? We know it because the scriptures testify over and over again that if we have faith, if you really believe in Jesus, if you really believe Jesus, you'll do exactly what he says. Obedience naturally follows faith. And then 16, faith controls what we speak. Look at the scripture with me. We having the same spirit of faith. Look at this. According as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Look at this. This is, we also believe and therefore we speak. Whatever we really believe, we speak. That's what Romans is about when it says in the 10th chapter, the word of faith, the word is nigh thee, even in the mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What a person says indicates what their faith is, because you see, faith controls what we speak. And then faith determines our walk and our ability to see. Here's a wonderful verse in its simplicity. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, if you only walk by what you see, you can be fooled by what you see and change and go the wrong direction. We walk regardless of what the circumstances look like, because you see, we're marching to the rhythm and the sound of a different drummer. We are walking by faith in the Word of God, not by what we see, but we're walking by faith. And then it is faith that brings the Holy Spirit into your life. Look at the scripture in Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by the works or the law? Or look at this, by the hearing of faith. Another verse says this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, look at this, through faith. You see, God is a faith God. God responds to faith. Everything he does, all of his involvements in our life are responses to faith. And if you want the Holy Spirit, you receive it by faith. You receive him by faith. It brings the Holy Spirit. Then, faith always brings blessing. Look at this. So then they which be of faith are blessed. Look at this. Those which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In the same way, because Abraham had faith that was counted unto him as righteousness, and he was blessed because of his faith, it's that way with you and I too. Faith will bring so many blessings. We're going to see how in a moment. Then faith causes joy. Philippians 1:25 refers to the joy of faith. Look at this scripture. Now the God of hope fill you, look, watch this now, fill you with all joy and peace. How? Watch this. In believing. Only when you believe the promises do they come true for you. Only by believing do you receive joy. Your faith is so important. It causes joy. And then faith also is the very life of a Christian. Look at this. The scripture says, the just shall live by faith. It's our mode of operation, if you please. Everything we do it by faith. We live this faith life. And because we live this faith life, we get all the side benefits that faith brings our way. We've already talked about 21 of them. Here's 22. Faith delivers us from the curse of the law. Look at this scripture. But after faith has come, we are no longer under our schoolmaster, which was the law. Remember, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But once faith comes, we're not under that law anymore. You say, well, why is that? Did God just take the law away? Nah. It's because faith accomplishes more than the law requires. So the law is unnecessary anymore. We don't need it to tell us which way to go because we walk by faith, we're already going that way and we're doing more than's required. And so the law is not necessary. You see, one scripture puts it this way. Let me see if I can bring it back. Commandments are not grievous unto us. See, the law, the commandments used to bother us because the law was always interfering with the path that we wanted to walk. But they're not grievous to us anymore. You know why? Because now the law and the commandments are only guidelines, happy guidelines, if you please, to do that, to help us do that, on which our heart is already set. I want to go this way. And so when I see the law, it's not interfering anymore. If, in fact, I'm not complying with the law, I say, oh, I miss it. I want to please God. So the law is a happy guideline to do that, which my heart is set on. That's why faith comes along, replaces the law. The law's not required anymore because this law of love by which we live, this law of faith by which we live, accomplishes all the law and a whole lot more besides. So the rules and the regulations are so minimal, we don't need them because we are overachievers in terms of the law. Well, faith also causes us to work. In the book of James, we have an outstanding scripture, but before I go to that, Thessalonians refers to remembering without ceasing. Listen to this phrase, your work of faith. James put it this way. I will show you my faith by my works. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hold it now. Watch this. Don't miss this. It's simply saying that without works, faith is dead. It isn't real faith. Because faith always, according to Galatians even, works by love. It's always working. And then faith is how we know that a person has spiritual health. It's the measurement, if you please, of spiritual health. Now, when Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, he wondered how they were doing. He was really concerned. He was really worried. How are they doing there? And so he put it this way. Look at this. For this cause, I couldn't stand it any longer, so I sent a messenger so that I could know your faith. Because you see, if your faith is up, your behavior's up. If your faith is up, you're going the right direction. Your faith is like the measurement of our real spiritual condition. And then lastly, faith gives us power to forgive. The disciples came and said, well, how often do I got to forgive somebody? And Jesus answered, and look at what he says. If he trespasses you against thee, now watch this, seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he says, I repent, then you shall forgive him. Now watch this. And you know what the apostles' next words were? Look at this. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And you may be wondering, what has faith got to do with having the power to forgive? So I want to show you a really important secret. Here it is. The scripture says, shall not God avenge his own elect? Look at this, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him. Don't you think God's going to, remember, we're under commandment. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And Jesus comes along and says, don't you think that God's going to do what he said he would do? If somebody's doing you bad, I don't want you to treat them bad. I want you to treat them good and leave the vengeance up to my Father. And don't you think that God will avenge his own elect, you and I? Now watch this. He says, I tell you that he, look at this, he will avenge them speedily. This is what Jesus is saying. That if somebody does you bad, you don't have to do bad to them if you believe that the Father will exercise vengeance. You won't have to. Now watch this. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, that if somebody does you bad, don't do bad back to them, do good back to them, and leave the vengeance up to my Father, because I'm telling you, he will avenge them speedily. Now watch this next phrase. Nevertheless, look at this. When the Son of Man comes, as in back to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? Look at the context of this question. Will he find faith in people when he gets back here? Faith enough to believe that the Father will do the vengeance so they don't have to. You see, when you really believe what the Bible says, when you really believe that God will, in fact, exercise vengeance on those who do evil to you, when you believe that, when you have faith in that, you will not have to retaliate. You will leave it all up to God. Most of us retaliate because we don't think God's going to do anything about it. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith? Faith on the earth. Faith in those. Faith that my Father will do what he said he will do. Well, faith does a lot for us. Now, I want us to get to the landing strip real soon and go back to our main text. Because this is what it says. It says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. I want you to know a couple things about darts. Number one, darts are swift. That's why they call them dart. He darted here, he darted there. It means he moved quickly. Darts are fast. I want you to know that darts fly secretly, the kind of darts that come in the night. In fact, they can come in the daylight. They come so fast you don't see. They come secretly. And watch this. Darts have a wounding, killing nature about them. They are fast. They are secret. and they are killing. Now, I want you to see that in the scriptures so that you can understand it with me. Let's look at this. Look at this. Look at, lo, the wicked bend their bow. Remember? You're going to be able to quench the fiery darts of who? Of the wicked. The wicked bend their bow. Look at this. They make ready their arrow upon a string. Now watch this. That they might privately shoot at the upright in heart. Now look at the next verse. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the worker of iniquity. Now watch this. Watch this. Who wet their tongue like a sword. Now watch this. And they bend their bows to shoot their arrows. And now you're about to find out what those fiery darts are made out of. Look at this. Even bitter words. Now watch one more thing in the next verse. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him, and they're not afraid. I want you to get this straight. The fiery darts of the enemy are thoughts. They're words and thoughts that come to you from the enemy. They're designed to get inside like fire and frustrate and burn and consume and devastate and aggravate you in the deepest parts of your mind and of your heart. They are bitter words. Sometimes they come through other people. Sometimes they just come in our own thinking. Sometimes they just come from the devil. And their fiery darts are coming at us all the time. You're no good. You'll never make it. You don't amount to anything. You've sinned so much, there's no future for you. You're no good. And all these fiery darts, you can never be forgiven. You're of no value. And we live with these darts coming at us all the time. And what we need to do is to learn how to take the shield of faith. Because watch this now. The only thing that will stop all of those thoughts, all those negative, consuming, bitter, inflaming thoughts. Oh, how many people there are that every night they put their head upon their pillow before that mystery of sleep overtakes them. The anguish, hot tears flow down their cheeks. Young people pound their chests wondering, does anybody understand me? Does anybody care about me? Who am I? What am I doing here? Because they live lives of strife, accusation. It's dog eat dog. It's everybody putting one another down there, clamoring. And so the human wreckage piles up fast and the mental damage goes on. And this verse comes to tell you that above all the other pieces of weapons, you want to have the shield of faith, because with this you will be able to stop the fiery darts. Because you see, if you believe God instead of those thoughts that come, that's how those thoughts get stopped. Because faith in the Word of God is what you believe in your mind. But if you believe the fiery darts, if you believe what the accuser says about you, you will self-destruct. You will end up on the side of the accuser against yourself. And the good news is that God is for you even when you are not. So how do you get this shield of faith? How do you get faith? And I got good news for you. There's only one source, and you can have it. Look at the scripture. Here it is. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, got only moments left. I don't want you to miss any of these truths. Watch this now. Because you see, faith conceives all of its ideas from the Word of God. Your ability to walk in strong faith is determined by the presence or absence of God's Word in your life. Now, this word is to be heard. Listen to that scripture again. Faith cometh by hearing must hear the word of God. Now watch this, because there's other verse. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the, look at this, hearing of faith. In order to get faith, you have to hear the word of God. It's by the hearing of faith. So the question is, how do you increase your faith? You increase your faith by increasing your hearing. Now, look at this. You increase the measure of your hearing. And Jesus put it this way. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Look at this. And he said unto them, look at what Jesus says. Take heed what you hear. Because whatever measure that you take in, that's what you're going to get. And unto you that hear shall more be given. That is, with what degree you apportion to yourself the word of God, to that degree you will have faith. Faith comes from hearing, from this book. And as the thoughts of God, which are high above ours, as you take these thoughts, you read them out loud. In my house, we play the Bible 24 hours a day on CDs. Take 62 CDs. 24 hours a day, the word's going on. When I drive in my car, I'm thinking the word, meditating on Scripture day and night, saying it out loud because it comes in through the ears. And this is called the hearing of faith. Don't be afraid to say it out loud so that you can hear it. Because as you hear it, you will get faith. As you hear what? As you hear the word of God, you will take the shield of faith, and every other thought that comes that would destroy you is confronted, if you please, by this word, by the faith in this word, and those other thoughts fall on deaf ears. They don't even get through to us. They fall down out there, and we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And I want you to be able to do that. Take the word of God and say it out loud, read it out loud, day and night, so you hear it. And as you hear it, your faith will rise. The more you hear, the more you believe. The more you believe, the more fiery darts you will be able to stop.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.